Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Pastor Marian Logan is currently working as the Young Professionals Pastor at Moana Lua Gardens Missionary Church along with his wife, Karis. MGMC is the church, is well known for that. And he also works with the youth in the community to promote positive, healthy living and leadership. Marian has felt a call to be a voice and make a difference with youth and young adults in a multicultural and coastal environment. Pastor Karis, his dear wife, has been on the MGMC staff as a part-time middle school director since 2004, then became the full-time youth pastor in 2006. In 2013, she became an assistant pastor and now oversees the media ministries as well as the youth ministry. Pastor Karis graduated from Trinity Western University with her degree in social sciences. They are the proud parents of their son, Judah. I'm privileged to have them with us. Marian and Karis, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I'm glad, Marian, you began to speak, because once you begin to speak, it becomes obvious that you did not go to Castle High School and you did not go to grow up in Kaneohe. Marian, where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Odessa, Texas.
Okay, you mentioned Odessa. The way you say it, the word itself, it equates to me the image of the pigskin, the football. And I think of Friday Night Lights, brother. Do you have a connection to Friday Night Lights?
Yeah, that's my high school. Went there in grad in 97 and played football there. So it's definitely a part of our culture. And you know, the movie depicts it right. I mean, we played in a 16,000-member stadium. We played on turf, you know, and it was football night on Friday nights. The town's shutting down, and they're going to watch high school football. So, yeah.
Did you have a dream of, you know, growing up as a kid? I want to play football.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I want to play under the Friday Night Lights.
You know, I started playing football when I was in fourth grade. They start, you know, Pop Warner that early. Mm-hmm. And so the minute I could suit up and go play, I was there playing. And I played from fourth grade all the way through my senior year. Yeah.
What did it feel like to run through the tunnel, hearing the band play, seeing the opponent on the opposite sideline, and you're coming out on the field? Give us a sense of the titillation of what that was like.
Oh, man, it's amazing. I mean, anytime that you're, you know, we were groomed to feel like we were the best on the field, you know, and we worked hard. And actually, game was like a reward because practices were so difficult. Mm. I mean, we had difficult practices. And so having the opportunity to get on the field was like a reward. We were excited because we didn't have to go to practice. Mm. So, you know, and then the stadium's filled up, and, you know, if from kickoff, you're on the field, and the minute you get on, kicking off and going as fast as you can and ready to hit somebody. So, yeah, it was great.
Well, you know, we in Hawaii, we love our football.
Oh, yeah.
So you have the entree, brother, to speak to many athletes in the islands about your experiences. Not many can say they have the experiences that you have. Karis, you grew up in Kaneohe.
Mm-hmm.
You went to Castle High
School. Yes, I did.
High School. Mm-hmm. What was it like for you growing up there?
Oh, I loved it. Well, actually, and because our church is in Mo'analua, we did live in Mo'analua before we moved to Kaneohe. And so, you know, but that was fun. We lived at the parsonage at the church, mm-hmm. and you know, all of our friends loved coming over because we had a big parking lot and, you know, access to the church. And it was a lot of fun. But then moving to Kaneohe, I loved it. It was so dramatically different from the culture at Mo'analua, but I loved it. You know, I went from mostly Asian friends to then I had my Hawaiian friend and Samoan friend. You know, our group of friends was just so diverse, and I loved it. It was, yeah, so I love being from Kaneohe.
The Lord was preparing you for multicultural ministry.
It's true.
Early on.
Yeah, yeah.
To share one of your great childhood memories growing up as part of being Pastor Cal and Joy's daughter.
Well, one of the things I think that I fondly look back on is, you know, my dad back then too, being, it was a small church, but the church culture was very much where the senior pastor was expected to do everything. I mean, it was something crazy, like he was expected to do at least like 500, you know, visits to either the home or hospitals or whatever a year. But he made a commitment to our family that he was gonna, you know, make sure that he was home first, that his family was gonna be his first ministry. He was gonna make that a priority. And we felt that, and I think, and that's why my brothers and I, we didn't grow up like typical church kids, you know, pastor's kids, that were really rebellious, because dad was the same, that we saw him preaching at the on the pulpit, but at the same time, he was the same at home. You know, and so we didn't see a change in him and his character and the things he was saying. But we loved, you know, summertimes we would, as a family, we would go to Kauai. And we would go because my mom's brother lives there. And we would go for a whole month. And my cousins, my mom's side, you know, we would all go there, spend a whole month in Kauai fishing, going beach and camping. And it was the best. It was so much fun. Mm. Such great times.
It just sounds like you take a snapshot of that life and time stands still.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you relish those moments.
Yeah.
And you'll have them with you.
Yeah.
In your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You and your family forever.
Mm-hmm.
Marion, who influenced you most in your growing up years?
I mean, you know, without a doubt, it's kind of interesting you ask that, because this past Sunday, we were sharing about, I was sharing about my mom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, without question, it was my mom's influence. You know, I mean, I've had significant mentors, but it was my mom. Because when I was 1 year old, she decided at that time that she was going to live for the Lord. And from that point, I was in church, and that decision, her decision to raise us right, that shaped my future. And so, you know, our relationship is a special one, and it's been influential in my life.
What kind of things do you remember your mom would say to you or tell you on a repeated basis?
I mean, you know, I was talking with her about this, and the main thing is she said that when she was growing up, you know, that her parents didn't really talk to her about important things. And I guess it was a generational difference, maybe because, you know, they were the World War II generation, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that kind of thing. So
I've heard that too.
Talking about things that were happening, they didn't have that. There was not an openness. And when she had me, she made a decision that she was going to be open, and she was going to talk about important things. And so throughout my life, we talked about important things. And I mean,
important, yeah, things, meaning you could go deep.
Yeah, we could go deep. I mean, so for instance, like when I was in sixth grade, I'd gotten in trouble with my friend, you know, I told my mom I was going to be somewhere and then I wasn't there and she's looking for me. And she was really disappointed. You know, she didn't nag me. But what she said to me was she taught me about trust. Mm. And she said, look, you know, you're in sixth grade. You're going to be going into middle school and in high school. You don't have too much longer that you're going to be living with us. And she said, this can be hard or it can be, we can have a good relationship. And she said, I want to be able to trust you. And she said, trust is one of those things that if you, it takes a long time to build. And then, you know, like a snap of the fingers, you can lose that trust and it'll take a long time to rebuild it. And so when she told me that, something changed in my heart because I didn't want a bad relationship going into my teenage years. But then on the other hand, I couldn't stand the thought of my mom not being able to trust me. So, I mean, those types of things, she talked about us with us openly. I grew up in an alcoholic home. She talked about, you know, with my dad was an alcoholic. She talked about how choices impact your future and that the importance of making good choices. And so we talked about that kind of stuff, you know. My dad passed away a couple years ago, about three and a half years ago or so. She talked to me about, you know, up until that point, you know, we didn't deny the fact that this was happening to us. And we talked about these things. So I would say it's probably her decision to be open. And she raised my brother and I going to church in the ways of the Lord, teaching us how to pray, teaching me to be a man of character, you know, that kind of thing.
What's your mother's name?
Quay.
Quay.
Yeah.
Quay.
Yeah.
Thank God for Quay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank God for her openness. Mm-hmm. Thank God for her transparency. We need in our society today, we need in our America, in our world, more Quays.
Yes.
Who will speak, who talk. Not talk at her kids, but speak with mm-hmm. her kids and speak to their hearts and share her heart, open up her heart. And look at you today, Brother Marion Logan. You're speaking to the hearts of young people, of professionals. You're speaking to the hearts in such transformational ways, in such pivotal moments of people's lives. Mm-hmm. When we come back, hey, you could grow up in a home of a well-known pastor, a well-known pastoral couple. You talk about Cal and Joy Chinen, that resonates in the islands and really in other parts of the world. What's it like to be their daughter? And how does their daughter become a Christian? When we come back, you hear from Karis and Marion Logan. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments is right around the corner.
Friday, June 19th.
Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministry
presents the 18th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at Pearl Country Club.
Each year, golfers converge for a day of fun, healthy competition, great food, fellowship, and fabulous prizes. Enter your team today. Visit jccy.org to register.
Teams are filling fast. Register today.
Learn about special sponsorships at jccy.org. See why golfers return year after year.
Friday, June 19th.
Register at jccy.org.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed
needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Yeah, so you know, you have a parent, and your parent, the relationship is more than just they provide for the home. No, it's a relational connection that you have. Marion Logan had that with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, I could just sense, Marion, that openness. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm so glad you're with us today. Marion and Karis Logan are in studio with us today. They work with young people, young professionals. They've worked with youth. Their lives are in ministry. And they're also a part of a dynamic youth explosion in the sense of more and more young people getting involved, more and more churches getting involved. It's explicit youth. There's these conferences that are being presented throughout the islands, and you can find out more at explicityouth.com. We'll get back to that in a moment. But Karis, you grew up the daughter of Pastor Cal and Joy Chinen,
mm-hmm.
Monalua Gardens Missionary Church, Transformation Hawaii. Your mm-hmm. father has traveled all around the world. And his voice, his influence is both profound and transcendent.
Mm-hmm.
How did you become a Christian?
Well, I mean, I can remember a few times. You know, I think I prayed the sinner's prayer many times, you know, at the end of service. You know, I remember looking up as a little girl to receive the Lord. But I also remember, I think I was about 4, and just at home talking to my dad about it, about what it means to give your heart to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember praying with him then, you know, and getting baptized in second grade. And but I can, you know, I always grew up in the church, loved being at church. But then I think when I was in seventh grade and I went to a camp, missionary youth fellowship camp that we had where all the missionary churches, the youth groups would come together. And I remember just experiencing the presence of God. I remember feeling something, you know, feeling His presence, feeling His peace, and making that. I made a decision that this is mine. You know, this is my own personal faith, not just my parents, but I dedicated my life, you know, to the Lord. And so, you know, making just going through high school, and then I went to, as you said, Trinity Western. And so I knew I wanted to go to a Christian college because I went to public school my whole life, and I wanted to be in an environment that was, you know, Christian but also a liberal arts university. And loved it, you know, loved being there. But yeah, I think it's been a journey, you know, and it always is, right? It's we learn how to trust God with whatever season we're in, and as we see His faithfulness in whatever season we're in, then we know He's going to be faithful to us in the next thing that we embark on. So yeah, I think it's just, I always felt like, I remember growing up feeling like, oh, I don't have that testimony, like, you know, the druggie, or, you know, the person
I was the bad kid.
Right?
My parents were in ministry and I went off.
That was you?
No. Oh. I'm saying that's what, well, I did go off myself too. I was just kind of thinking about how, but yeah, I did go off. Well, yeah, the dramatic story.
Yes,
right?
I never had that dramatic story, but, you know, but I'm so thankful now looking back, you know, that I was able to have that, you know, secure home and then to go through hard times, you know, it's not like we were perfect, you know, but to be able to rely on the Lord, I think it's made me stronger, and, you know.
Yeah. I love that. Glamorize that.
Mm.
The solid home, the experience of a spiritual upbringing. Loving to go to church as a pastor's son, pastor's daughter, you know, as a child. Glamorize that. I think we need to talk more about the wonder and the beauty and the grace of that.
Yes.
I think sometimes we put too much attention on, you know, almost implying that you gotta be bad in order to be validated in the Lord. No, 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 no.
Yeah.
You're a great example.
Thank you.
Karis, and your parents as well, in the way that they raised you. How did you get or develop this passion for young people?
Well, through college, I always loved being with young kids. And so, you know, I'd come home and work, do Kama'aina Kids, summer fun, or, you know, work in preschool for summer jobs. But when I, the Christmas before I graduated from college, I came home and I was trying to figure out, I had just gotten out of my first serious relationship and, you know, he was a guy from the mainland and, you know, that ended. And so I was like, oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I loved being, you know, on the mainland. And so I was considering moving to Seattle. And then when I came home for Christmas break, I ran into a girl that grew up in the church, and at the time she was in seventh grade, and she wrote me a letter, and she folded it up all cute, you know, like how they do, drew me pictures, and she was telling me about her boy problems. She told me, you know, I like this boy, and whenever he's around his friends, he's so mean to me, and they, like, you know, and she was asking for my advice. And in that moment, I mean, I had always been really intimidated by young people, but in that moment, I thought, you know what? I have something to give. And that was it. That made my decision to come home, to move back home to Hawaii after I graduated. And I thought, when I do that, I'm going to just start volunteering in the youth ministry. And so that's how it started. And then I started our middle school ministry at the church. And I just kept, I mean, I was in love, you know, with the young people. So
I like the way you also said, Karis, I started volunteering. I started volunteering. Some may think, well, I need to get a job. I need to get a job in ministry for me to do ministry. And that's sort of maybe putting the cart before the horse, where it's in the volunteering, it's in the open-heartedness of sharing of time, giving of time, and unbeknownst to you or me or anyone who's volunteering, we're gaining skills.
Oh, yeah.
We're developing, through opportunities, refinement in the level of service. God is sharpening our blade, and you did that. Marian, how did you, over time, sense a calling to the ministry?
Well, you know, like I said, beginning with my mom's foundation, you know, of having us in church, it's interesting. I remember when I was maybe 3 or 4 years old, and they had a children's thing, and we were in church, and the pastor's talking, and I felt like I wanted to say something. I felt like I wanted to preach. And it was interesting. I noticed that from that age. And so ministry has been something that has been part of who I am since a young age. And so going into middle school was a leader, and high school was the, you know, the president of my youth group, ran the president of the FCA up at the high school, doing that. And so that's been a vibrant kind of part of who I am. You know, and so I feel like it's part of who God made me to be, you know. So it's definitely a passion, and it's something that it's been real and it's been evident, you know. And I think about kind of how I'm wired. You know, there's people that are wired to be musicians. There's people that are wired to be, they're great athletes from the time they can walk almost. And, you know, I remember even in middle school pastoring my friends in ways, you know, talking with them, praying with them, giving advice. And I think about that. I'm like, why in the world did I think I could give advice at that age? And I wonder if it was just, it's just a handprint, God's call on who he created me to be, you know? So, yeah.
You know, the talk nowadays of great leaders, research done about qualities, characteristics of great leaders, is the quality of self-awareness.
Mm.
And what you're describing is just that, you know, you knowing who you are, you knowing the handprint of God on your life, and being content with that, and then developing that, maximizing that. So often I think we want someone else's gift. Lord, how come you put the print on her or mm-hmm. on him? And I wanted that print.
Mm-hmm.
And God's saying, you know, I put a print uniquely on you mm-hmm. that is hard to replicate. No one's going to really be able to replicate what I've put on you. And, you know, I think we waste a lot of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to get someone else's gift or envy or yearn for. And I don't know, do you ever think like that too?
Yeah, of course. Of course, yeah. It's just, and I mean, that's part of the journey, right? I think of us knowing who we are in the Lord and appreciating that rather than, you know, and I remember always comparing myself, and maybe being a middle child, I was always comparing myself to my brothers, going, you know, Micah has this, he's so gifted in athletics and he's very artistic, and Daniel, he's just the baby, you know, and feeling like, Lord, you made a mistake when you made me, there was something that went wrong with me. And that was part of my journey of being able to go, you know, of hearing the Lord affirm me and say, no, Karis, I made you. I made you perfect in my image. And being able to receive that and accept it, you know, and to walk in that. That's a big part of my journey.
As you speak, as you hear Karis Logan share what she just shared, does it touch a part of your soul? Have you felt what she has felt in some way? If you feel a touch from God, it's really that. It's an act of God's grace, his charis,
mm-hmm.
grace
mm-hmm.
for you, my friend. Dear one, you know, the Lord wants you to know how valuable you are in the way that he made you. And he sends Marion and Karis Logan in studio today to remind you of that with his loving, tender whisper from his heart to yours. When we come back, we'll hear how God is using their whisper in the hearts of young people. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, are we going to go forward with this whole thing, or are we going to hold up and we're going to make a change, a transition? Do we have a deal? Or is there no deal at all? I mean, we're talking about relationships here and relationships among young adults who have been dating. Hey, explicityouth.com, Karis and Marion Logan are the key leaders in that, key communicators as part of that conference. And the whole lead up to it, you know, what I when I brought this program back in, deal or no deal, they're going to talk to us about that. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, Karis and Marion Logan in studio today. You can find out more about this show. You can get this program in its entirety. Maybe you're tuning in right now. Maybe you caught the tail end of the last segment and you're thinking, man, I want to hear more. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Get the free podcast. And if you want to find out more about Explicit Youth, explicityouth.com. So, Karis, Marion, deal or no deal? What are we talking about here? What's that all about?
Well, for Explicit, we're going to be doing a young adults explicit conference. So last year, we started these explicit conferences, and it started with the high schoolers. We just had the junior high conference and parent conference. And then on August 6th to 8th, we're going to be having our young adults singles explicit conference.
August 6th to 8th.
That's right. And it's going to be at First Assembly, Red Hill. And we still need to beef up our website, so stay tuned for more details that will be coming very shortly. But the unique thing about the Young Adults Conference, unlike the junior high and the high school conferences, we can really talk to young people about marriage. And it's not just casting vision. I mean, it's part of that. But these people are in the season where they're gonna probably get married very soon. You know, it's geared towards those who are in college, but also in their 30s, you know. And so we're going to be doing a breakout session. Marion and I will be at this conference. And it's called, as you were saying, Deal or No Deal.
I love the title.
And it's going to be for those who are in a relationship. And basically, we're going to be talking to them about that if they've been dating for at least a year, they should either know that they're gonna that they're headed for marriage or that they break up at the end of this conference.
You know, that's, well, you're going to lower the boom.
Yeah.
You're going to throw down the gauntlet.
Uh-huh.
I
Just
mean,
do it.
it may sound just, well, you know, I might chuckle about it, but it might sound, you know, very severe to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone to say, wow, I mean, you know, a year, I mean, hey, you know, you're being so distinct about it. And how do I know? How do I know if I should go forward? How do I know if I should recoil?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess that's a question of the ages. How do you know? You know, I'm of the school that sometimes you got to make a choice, right? You're with a person, you know, you've experienced life, you're in a relationship. Sometimes it just means taking a step of faith, you know. And, you know, Carson and I, we recognize that our journey is different, right? Everyone's journey is different.
Yeah.
I wish that when I saw Carson, I wish that I knew, I wish that I was seeing the light, seeing her angel wings, and the first time I saw her, she's the one. I knew something was special about her the first time I saw her, but I didn't get that. I know that she probably felt that about me. No, I'm just
yeah,
kidding.
Totally.
But the thing about
kudos to you, yeah. Chris.
No, I think I felt for her sooner, you know, than she did for me. But when I look at that, when I think about that, you know, for us, it was literally, we just had to work through it. We not work through it as in it was so bad we had to work through it, but we had to work through it and make a choice, you know, deal or no deal. Are we going to move forward in this thing or not? And I mean, it's funny, during our course of dating, we actually broke up a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
First time she broke up with me, and then the second time I broke up with her. And, you know, the thing is now that I'm on this side of marriage, I'm not afraid to tell people, hey, maybe the best thing that you guys should do is break up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, test it.
Yeah, we needed that. We needed the breakups, I think. And it's funny because we had been dating almost a year. And, you know, both of us, we had never said I love you to anyone else, you know, in any other dating relationships. And we said it to each other. And that's when I remember Marion looked at me and he said, well, now we need to really consider, you know, where is this going?
Mm.
And then we broke up. But, I mean, there were a lot of things, you know, and this is what we're going to share in this breakout session is, you know,
you're doing it together.
We're doing it together and sharing that through the hard lessons that we learned, you know, I mean, we fought all the time. I mean, even after we got back together that second time, even after we got engaged, literally hours before we got married, we were still fighting. But we're both very strong personalities. I mean, we were both full-time pastors. You know, we both were leaders in our own right. And so it was we had to learn how to fight the right way. And so we're going to talk about that. How do you conflict the right way? And we were fighting in front of our premarital counselors. It was that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And so.
Talk about throw down.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are flags? Some flags that you know that you should go forward. After a year, hey, these are indicators, markers.
Well, I mean, for me, when Carson and I were broken up, I was kind of. It wasn't even serious. I wasn't dating or anything like that. But I remember talking to this other girl. And she said something to me, and I was starting to open up. And then this feeling, this thought came over me. And it was like, but she's not Karis. And I knew at that point that I had something special with her, with Karis, even when we were broken up. And I think that the realization that I had was my relationship with Karis could not be replicated, and it was something that was special. Even though, you know, we had fought, even though we had broken up, that kind of thing, my heart for her began, my heart to want to be with her long term began to grow rapidly at that point. So I would say one flag was, would be, you know, that you can't be without that person. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one. Yeah.
And I think for me as a woman, and I think a lot of women can identify with this, is that when I knew that I loved him, that was it. Even if we were fighting like crazy, I knew that we were, for me, I was like, we're going to just battle through. I love this man, and so we're going to make it work. And I think that's how women are. Women are very loyal, you know. That's mm-hmm. that's a strong quality that we desire. And so I knew that I think that I wanted to marry him, but because he wasn't saying anything, it's not like I was going to just like start bringing it up all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think for me, it was like every other dating relationship other than that first boyfriend, I always had like subconsciously a 3-month rule where I would date them. And by 3 months or less, I would know if I wanted to go forward or not. And I would end it. And I didn't even know that I was doing 3 months. But it's like it was just long enough to get to know that person, but short enough that you can cut it off. So,
These are practical, out of your life, you're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
It can't get any more authentic than that, mm-hmm. you know. Just, Karis, you speaking. I do want to know, when we come back, maybe when we come back from our break, you can share this with us, and maybe we will extract more out of some lessons that you will share. But I want to know, maybe some of our listeners would want to know, Karis, when did you know you loved him? Because it was such a strong moment for you, a moment of clarity, a moment of resolve, maybe a moment of trepidation in realizing you're feeling, you're knowing, you're sensing something that you've never sensed before. Karis and Marion are speaking at this is coming up in August. Of course, they're in ministry today. They're at Moaloa Gardens Missionary Church. I hear the apple does not fall far from the tree, and as much as her father is a dynamic speaker, Kalchinen, so is Karis. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments is right around the corner.
Friday, June 19th.
Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministry
presents the 18th Annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at Pearl Country Club.
Each year, golfers converge for a day of fun, healthy competition, great food, fellowship, and fabulous prizes. Enter your team today. Visit jccy.org to register.
Teams are filling fast. Register today.
Learn about special sponsorships at jccy.org. See why golfers return year after year.
Friday, June 19th.
Register at jccy.org.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word. Weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Okay, we're talking about love, we're talking about romance, we're talking about attractions, and how do you know between being attracted physically to somebody or attracted to a personality. The person has certain attributes that you see. But how does it differentiate from an attraction and love? And how does love lead to marriage? Karis and Marion Logan are going to be speaking to young adults about these very things. August 6 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
This coming August 6 to 8 at Explicit Youth. You can find out more at explicityouth.com. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm glad you're with us today. Karis, before our break, you're talking about loving Marion. How did you know that you loved him?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I could ever even pinpoint, you know, like I knew I loved him then. I think it was as we were getting closer, we were great friends, you know, not before we were dating, but we had developed such a great friendship where, I mean, I enjoyed myself with him. We laughed all the time. We still laugh every day. And we have a great time together. You know, there was that X factor that was between us, and it did. It got to that point where I said, you know, I can't imagine my life without him. And I knew it, you know, I think there were fears, you know, about marriage. For me, there were fears that, is he really going to be able to love me the way that I feel that I need to be loved? And, you know, as we mentioned that we broke up, and one of the big things God dealt with me during that breakup was my issue of control. That out of that fear of, is he going to love me the way that I feel that I need to be loved, I would try to control the relationship. And it was little things like I would say, okay, you know, we're going to have date nights, you know, for these certain nights, and I will plan this one, then you'll plan this one, then I'll plan this one. Because I thought, if I can control it, then I can make sure that he's loving me the way that I think I need to be loved. And I needed to. The Lord was talking to me about letting that go, and that I'm going to have to trust him. You know, I trust the Lord, but also trust my future husband to be able to love me that way. And to be quite honest, though, only after we got married did that fear really go away. I mean, it instantly dissipated the moment we got married, where I just knew, I knew his love for me.
Mm. How important, or draw the distinction between love and respect?
Well, I mean, when we were going to get married and we were taking a class, it was from the book Love and Respect. And what the premise of the book is that men and women receive love differently. And men receive love and they through respect. Women receive love through love, cherish, affection, that kind of thing. It's naturally for a man to give another man respect. They tend to want to respect a woman, but they don't feel loved if a man shows a woman respect. And then vice versa, a woman, it's natural for them to be affectionate, but it's not natural for them to want to give respect. Mm-hmm. And, Karis has a great example of, you know, we talk about that in our conference when we've had the opportunity to speak. She has a great example of what that looks like for a man. And so
Wait, should share that. Sorry.
When a man feels respected.
The example that we give?
Yeah, yeah.
We'll pull up a young man and I'll tell him, you know, close your eyes and think of your dream girl. Okay, so they're picturing and you can see them, you know, so we'll have, you can see their them smiling.
Smiling, uh-huh. eyes fluttering.
Mm-hmm. And
batting eyes.
Exactly. Yep. And then I'll say, okay, now imagine that she's saying to you, you know, I love you. You are the handsomest man I have ever laid my eyes on. You know, and I just want to cherish you. And so he's kind of smiling, you know, and he likes it. And then I say, okay, now imagine that she's saying this. I respect you. I will follow you to the ends of the earth. You are an amazing leader. You are so brilliant. You know, and I start going down that, and you can see, you can actually physically see their demeanor change. There is something in a man that will rise to that. But the thing is, as a woman, it is so foreign. It is not natural. It wasn't natural for me to respect Marion, you know, and I'll say this and it bothers him. But when we, right before we broke up that second time, I could honestly, truly say that I loved him with my whole heart, but I couldn't respect him. I didn't look at him as my spiritual leader. I couldn't. I just, it was a struggle for me. It was not natural. And it was, you know, again, it was something that I had to work at. In the same way, you know, and I remember we talked to my dad about this, and I said, but, you know, I don't understand. Why does he want to hear me say to him, you know, that he's so brilliant and that, you know, I admire him and I want to follow him and, you know, that I respect him. And my dad says, well, how often do you want him to tell you that you're beautiful? And I go, every day, of course. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, that's the same thing for a man. And I couldn't, you know, it still is. I feel like I'm better at it now, you know, that because I truly do respect him. But it was something that I had to work at.
What's the difference when you talk about respect and its relation to being a fan?
Yeah, and that was a big thing that God dealt with me on as well during that breakup. And, you know, I remember always, and I would even say it to Marion before, you know, I would say, you know, how can you not feel that I'm supporting you when I feel like I am like the biggest cheerleader in your corner? I am rooting for you. I want to see you, you know, score those touchdowns, and I want to see you do that. And I remember I was in prayer and telling the Lord and just saying, God, I don't understand. I don't understand. When I was his biggest cheerleader. And I remember God telling me, you know, for whoever it is your future spouse is going to be, you can't be their biggest cheerleader. You're going to become their biggest fan. And all of a sudden, I started to realize, you know, when you think about like mainland schools, like mainland colleges and college towns, you have those diehard fans that will, I mean, you know, they're the ones that are dressed like head to toe in, you know, all of that school's paraphernalia.
And paint their faces.
They paint
and
their
arms
faces. And they're the ones that are going to drive hours and hours to go watch their team play. You know, those are the diehard fans.
Win or lose.
Win or lose. They are there, you know, rain or shine. I mean, it's like, you know, sleet or snow. It's, they are there, and it's not about them. And all of a sudden, the Lord showed me that as a cheerleader, yeah, the cheerleader is there on the sidelines cheering on the team, but it's more about the cheerleader than about the team. Mm-hmm. And for a fan, it's more about the team than it is about them. And I needed to have that shift happen in me. And it did. When we got back together, it did. That shift happened.
You've painted a word picture. And it's formidable. And it's practical. And it's compelling. And I think it's transforming for a couple to have that in their marriage. To be a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Marion, we've got just about a couple minutes left. What would you say as a parting shot to a young man today who is contemplating who his life partner will be?
Well, you know, I'm glad that you're giving me a couple minutes. I always tell people I have one regret about cars. And my biggest regret is that I did not marry her sooner. And the reason is I think that part of our journey was that, you know, the way the way society pictures marriage, they picture it kind of in a bleak thing. It's a negative thing. It's something that, oh, you want to wait as long as you can before you get married. And so that kind of narrative was playing in my mind. And this side of marriage, you know, I'll see a young guy and he's dating this girl and she's an amazing girl. And they're juggling, they're questioning. They're like, I don't know. It's funny because I'm quick to say, you know, is this the kind of girl you would want to marry? And it's not a point. It's not a point because I'm impatient or anything like that. I wish I would have had somebody pointing at me, talking about the positive, the awesomeness, the amazingness of what it means to be married. It's been the best part of my life, and having Karis in my life, and you know, having the opportunity to be married to her. I could have been married to her even longer if I wouldn't have been unsure of myself, you know. So a lot of it is helping young men know that they can be confident in who they are, that they don't have to be perfect, but that marriage is a beautiful thing and it's a good thing. And when God is in the middle of it, it's one of the best things that we could ever experience. And so, you know, that's one of the things, and that's one of the focuses of doing the conference. Is it's such a great experience for Karis and I. Mm-hmm. We want to tell the world about it, right? Mm-hmm. It's like proclaiming the gospel. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. It's so amazing. You want to tell everyone you know about it. And it's been such a great blessing in my life. I want to tell the world about it. And I'm tired of people being scared of getting married and, you know, all the fear that comes up with it. We need to talk about it the way that it should be, and that it's such a great thing. It's positive, especially when the Lord's in it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Spoken with great sagacity. Marion Logan, a wise man. Mm-hmm. And Karis, oh, we need to hear more of these with such you speak so exquisitely about stuff that has to be dealt with in the nitty-gritty. Mm. And I think it's a beautiful thing, and I'm grateful, Marion, for you and for Karis coming in studio today to share, as you have, heart to heart. You can hear more about them at explicityouth.com. The conference coming up August 6 to 9. And their ministry at Marlow Gardens Missionary Church, check them out there. I hope, dear one, that you've been encouraged today by the insights of Marion and Karis Logan. Again, explicityouth.com. You know what? God's timing is indeed perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And you know what? If you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. And if you'd like to help us with your financial support to make a donation, well, thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He's planned for us long ago. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Marion and Karis Logan. Find out more at explicityouth.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.